last night, not till about 11:30. So I don't know what time she made it to bed, because she had to kind of chill out, unwind, whatever. But she did say, tell you hello, and told me to drive carefully, which I did. I had both eyes open the whole time I was up here, heading this way. If you would, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 17. I'm just going to read a piece of this. What about it?
You got it on? Just want to make sure.
I don't know.
Yes, you have to remind me, because I'm...
A little red light is on. I don't know whether that thing's working or not.
It's working.
Okay. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Let's just put it that way. But it's there. Well, you know, I actually did look at one of these, you know. I had to. Well, Debbie wanted to anyway. And I noticed I pull my ear a lot, and I touch my glasses, and I rub my face. And I'm not stopping. I think about it when I do it, but I don't stop it. So you know, it's just one of them things. Anyhow, John chapter 17, I want to begin in verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And that's where I'm going to stop. Now, I don't know for sure if Earl was the first person I heard say this, but he's the one I heard say it the most. This is our Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
Right here. The 17th chapter of John is the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ to the Father. It's the Lord's Prayer. Now, I don't care what anyone else calls the Lord's Prayer, because everyone else who says that it's not John 17 is wrong. Now, I'm not saying to forget what's in Matthew 6 and also in Luke 11. Our prayer to God. You pray in this wise, in this way. You pray.
Yeah.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. And the most important part, as far as I'm concerned, thy will be done.
Amen.
And that's what Christ is doing here in John 17. He's telling us the will of God concerning his people. And he's praying for that will to be done. And it is done. There I did it again. Scratch my face. Because our prayers are not to be, not supposed to be, put it this way, about what we want.
Right.
It's supposed to be about what God wants. Now, most of the time, if I want to be brutally honest, not just regularly honest, brutally honest, I don't know what God wants.
Yeah.
Now, I know there's a lot of preachers who seem to know a lot about what God wants, or at least they say they do. But they're wrong. Because most of them say God wants everybody to be saved. And that's not what you find here in John chapter 17. It's not even close to what you find our Lord Jesus Christ praying in his own voice, in his own words to the Father, as recorded here. But whatever it is and whatever it affects, it has, I want the Lord's will to be done. And it will be done, whatever it is. Whether I like it or I don't like it. Whether you like it or you don't like it. God's will be done, and you might as well pray for it. Because he's worthy and worthy of praise. He's worthy of honor. He's worthy of glory. He is God Almighty. The judge of all the earth shall do right. I believe that. I believe it. I don't understand it, some of the things that happen, but I know who's in control. I know that God's purpose shall stand because God has purposed it. And if he's purposed it, he'll do it. This is what's known as the Lord's Prayer in John 17, what we call the Lord's Prayer. But the world won't have it. Because we, as believers, if we believe Christ, are not of the world. And the world will not have this Christ. Anyhow, I started off with this, because this one, I'll tell you, it's hard to narrow down. But I started with verse 9, mainly because of this world. Christ starts off in verse 9 here. He's speaking before this of his people, the eternal purpose, true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou sent. I've glorified thee on the earth. And verse 8 says, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Verse 9 says, I pray for them. The next statement is, I pray not for the world. I have been in places where I've heard preachers pray for the whole world.
Yeah.
You're doing something Christ didn't do. This world is cursed. This world is going to be destroyed and remade. But Christ says it plainly here. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Then he said, but for them. See, there's this us and them thing all throughout the scripture. If you'll read it. There's us. If you're included in those who believe Christ. And there's them. Where you're included if you don't believe Christ. I pray not for the world. Christ prayed for us, even back then. His people whom the Father gave him. That's who us is. I pray for them. Christ said that. He said it and he meant it. Now, Walter, I got to thinking, if you get up here and you talk about this, we are already accused sometimes of thinking a little highly of ourselves, that we're special, that we're, I don't know. Well, And actually, when you come down to it, there, you know, people are probably right. We probably sometimes do think too highly of ourselves. I know I do. I like me some days. But sometimes, I think, in all actuality, to be honest with ourselves, if you're anything like me, and I think you are, sometimes we don't think of ourselves highly enough. And I want to clarify that, hopefully, correctly. Because when I am by myself and I get in a mood, I hate to put it that way, but I'll get to thinking. And if I start thinking about Christ and how wonderful he is and what he's done, and that I don't really grasp a hold of what it cost him to do what he did, I get to feeling pretty worthless. And, you know, if I start thinking about things I've done and things I've said and things I thought that I didn't even say, I get to feeling even worse about myself. Now, when I'm with a group, it's not the same thing. Because I'm happy to be with you people. I'm happy to be here. It's not even the same if my wife's there, because I'm happy to be with her. But sometimes when you're alone, and, you know, this is one of the things that, you know, I remember that diary Earl had that he read, and he gave it to me and I read, and it was a fella back in the days of the Indians in the colonial America or whatever it was. And I remember that fella saying, oh, I felt depressed this morning, you know. And he said, but then I enjoyed a little sweetness, a little light from God, and felt better in the afternoon. And then I talked to so-and-so and felt even better. And then I went home and I thought about myself and I felt really bad. If you go through your life and if you go through your day and you actually think about yourself in the light of Christ, you're going to feel bad every day. You do. You do. But Christ prayed for me. Christ prayed for you. I mean, I know when I first read Job, the two verses that hit me was Job 42. When Job said, after God had revealed himself to him, Job said, this verse, chapter 42 and verse 5, he says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Which should be glorious. But he goes on, he says, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. That is what it's like to see God. That is what it's like to see Christ at first. But then you'll read, I pray for them. Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, prayed to the Father for us, his people. Like I said, I know how Job felt then, because at times still, when I quietly think about the Lord and myself, I love him, but I hate myself. Hate even the garment spotted by the flesh. To see just a little of him as through a glass darkly makes me see myself, and I don't measure up. Now see, we say all this stuff, but I mean it. And if you've been through it, and if you go through it, you know what I'm talking about. Whenever you see Christ elevated, it devalues you as far as yourself. He is exalted, I'm not. And there's the joy of seeing him exalted that you have and that you feel But then there's also the dread that I feel of me being myself, that I have to go on, because I am in this world. I'm not of it, but I am in it. And I am in this flesh, and in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. I don't feel as if I'm clean, even though he said, now ye are clean. I don't feel as if I'm clean. But he has declared me clean by the power of his word. But then, Walter, I got to thinking about, by strict Bible definition, this goes back to where people think we think too highly of ourselves. By strict Bible definition, I am a saint. See, that amuses me to no end in the fact that because of my upbringing in Catholicism. And I told David I might bring it up. You know, the Catholics have ruined the word saint for everybody. I'm sorry. They have. And the word, especially yesterday being what is colloquially known as St. Patrick's Day. And a few years ago, they finally admitted that they made up St. Patrick. He's a fake saint. There are real saints. There are real saints. They are the chosen, converted people of God. That's how we are addressed in this book. Now, it sounds a little pretentious in this world, and that's why I don't refer to Walter as Saint Walter. Mostly for reasons of comedy relief. I don't refer to myself as Saint Joseph, because I'm not a children's aspirin. Or Saint Joe, because I'm not a college basketball team. Religion has ruined a lot of things for us. In this place, I've been in others, but in this place, we don't usually greet each other by calling each other Brother David or Brother Mason or Sister Mary. That's another one you got to watch out for. You know, Brother Paul, Mac, we don't use those greetings because religious societies overuse those greetings. And I've been in those things, and they did. They ruined it for me.
Makes it tough.
It does. It does. But when I come in here, I'm greeting you as my brothers
right.
and sisters.
Amen.
Because you are my brothers and sisters. Because we are us. And Christ prayed for us. Now, there's nothing wrong with calling people Brother David or Brother Walter, whoever, Sister Ellen, is perfectly fine to do so, but for me, religious societies have ruined that. I don't do it. I will greet you as my brother and sister in Christ, but I don't use the title, and I won't use the title saint either. I promise. However, Christ Jesus did pray for his disciples. And he prayed not for the world. But his praying for them, which I pray for them, is one of the greatest things in the world as far as I'm concerned. He prayed for those the Father hast given me, for they are thine. Whose people are we? We're his. We're God's. We're the Father's people. That is a cause for rejoicing. That is a reason for joy. That is the only reason for joy that we have in this world. He sent his Son, our Lord, whom he gave us to, and he gave us him, to die for our sins. And then he prayed for us before he went to the cross. Yeah. And you may know this about Christ's prayers. It seems a lot of people don't. Christ's prayers were always answered.
Amen.
Yes. And amen. My prayers, not so much. But Christ never prayed out of the will of the Father.
Amen.
Thy will be done on earth as in heaven and everywhere else in between. And anywhere else there is, his will be done. And Christ prayed within the will of the Father. He was the perfect sacrifice for sin. And in order for that to be true, everything he said is true. Everything Christ said is true. But now I want to get to the point of why I'm up here. Because this is what got me. This is one of the things we were talking about. I talked about a while back. Verse 11. And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. Right now, that's us. Back then it was the disciples, but right now it's us. And it applies. We'll get to that after a bit here, a second. But these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we. The reason we're included in this is in verse 20. I'll just read it here. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us. We believe because of the word written down by the apostles and the prophets. We're included in this prayer. I read this verse, and I read, keep through thine own name. This is how I am kept. This is how you are kept if you believe Christ. Because one of the things, the big things, that I ran into in religious worlds is keeping yourself. There's a lot of people who occupy themselves trying to keep themselves. Well, this is how I'm kept. And this is the only way to be kept. The reason Christ prayed for the Father to keep us, and that's just as true as every other word in this scripture, in this book, is because the Father has to keep us. We can't keep ourselves. And this is how I am kept. This is how every single one of the Father's children are kept. And this is how I continue to believe him. This is how I love my Lord Jesus Christ. This is why I want to learn of him and speak of him. In the face of all opposition, I want to proclaim his holy name. Now, I didn't say I'd be able to do it in the face of all opposition, but I want to. I understand how Peter felt sometimes. You say things because you mean them. Now, how I find to do that, sometimes it doesn't work out. It's because the Father keeps me. That's what it is. That's all it is. I'm not capable of withstanding persecution without Christ. And people who think that they keep themselves or they help keep themselves are ignorant of the truth of Christ. Because this is what he prayed. He prayed for the Father to keep us, and the Father's keeping us. He's not praying for the Father to keep the world. I pray not for the world. The secular world keeps telling me that the Jesus Christ I believe doesn't exist, Walter. All you got to do is watch television, PBS, or the Discovery Channel, or the National Geographic Channel. You'll hear nothing but evolution. You'll hear nothing but space aliens and ghosts. I have no idea what they all have to do with each other, other than the fact that it's all a lie. It's all error. And it's all heresy in a lot of ways. But in a lot of ways, it's also strong delusion. And believe me, you cannot tell these people different. They won't have it. They won't have it. They'll think you're uneducated, unliterate, and, illiterate.
Maybe we are.
I might be unliterate today. I am ignorant of a lot of things. And to be honest, that's kind of where I came from before Christ. So I know how these people think. I used to think that way. I was not religious growing up. Or in my young adulthood. I actually kind of wanted to believe God, in a God, but I actually, the people who would talk to me about God didn't impress me. I should put it that way. And mostly, I've come to find out that a lot of it was because it was Arminianism. They were telling me what I needed to do. And I didn't want to do anything. And if there was a God, I didn't know that anybody knew anything about him. True. I kind of hoped there was a God. But the vast majority of what I heard about God at that time didn't make any sense whatsoever. But the religious world, that's the secular world. The religious world keeps telling me it's a different Jesus Christ than the one I know, than the one written of in this book, whose words I just read. And they seem to have a couple of things in common with all kinds of Jesuses. There's usually two parts that most people have about another Jesus. One, he can't save you by himself. He needs your help. And two, he can't keep you. At least not totally. You've got to at least help keep yourself. That's not what Jesus Christ prayed. That's what the world says. That's what this world's religion say. But that's not what Christ, Jesus, the Lord of glory, said. He said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. And keep them. Holy Father, keep them through thy name. We are not kept through our works. We are not kept through our thoughts. We are not kept through our thinking, our believing, or anything else. We are kept by the Father. Yeah. Amen. The Holy Father. Christ Jesus prayed for this. It happens. It happened. Because the kind of doctrine that these other people preach doesn't help me. I need a Lord. I don't need a Savior necessarily. I need a Lord who is a Savior. I need the Lord who gives life because I had none. I need a Lord who saves because I can't save myself. And I need the Lord who keeps because I can't keep myself. I can't go through a whole day, and if you want to break it down, a whole hour, a whole minute, without doing something stupid, without doing something wrong. Okay, we'll call it what it is, without sinning. It's what it is. How am I supposed to keep myself? There are things we are to keep. It says, Christ told us, keep my commandments. And then he told us what his commandment was. He has told us what his commandment was, love one another. And then he says, if my commandments be in you. If he's prayed for you, his commandment's in you. If he's prayed for you, if he's given you life, if he's converted you, his commandments are in you to love one another. Peter supports this with one of my favorite scriptures, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. See, we're kept by faith. No, we're kept by the power of God through faith, which is the gift of God. People forget that. It's up to Baptists to remind them of it. They hate it anyway. Well, it's the truth. It's still in there. You Baptists always read that scripture. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Because it's still there, it's still true. And we are kept by the power of God through faith, not through works, not through socialization, not through anything. By the power of God through faith. And the peace of God, this is Paul writing, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. It's almost as if everything comes from God. It does. If it's got anything to do with the work that the Son came to perform, the salvation of his children, the children of God is what we are called. If there's anything to do with that, God does it. We don't. It comes from him. He prayed for us. Stop. Now, this doesn't mean I ceased from works. But I have entered his rest. So it says, for he that has entered into his rest has also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. That doesn't mean I've ceased from works. I've ceased from my own.
Amen. That's right.
I am no longer trying to get saved or trying to keep myself because I can't do it. And I thank God that he told me that I don't have to do it, so I won't waste my time because I can't. But I still do things. I've ceased from my own works. But now, well, I got something to talk about. I have someone to talk about. And he gives me something to talk about. And also, he's put in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If I do anything worthwhile, it's because of him. If I have done anything worthwhile, it's because of him. If I ever will do anything worthwhile, it'll be because of him. Because the Son prayed, and the Father's keeping us through his own name. Not through anything I've done, not through anything I'm doing, not through anything I will do. The people of God are kept by the Father. He calls us his children. And I'm telling you something, he's a better father than we will ever be. Just as the good shepherd knows each and every individual sheep that he has, the Father knows each and every individual child he has, and he will not lose a child because Christ prayed for him to keep him. He will. He is, and he will. He has, he is, he will. Whoop, same yesterday, today, and forever. He will keep us. And therefore, we are kept.
Yeah.
He's promised it. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. Our sacrifice. Who offered himself to you in our stead. As our substitute, as our head, in our place, after having suffered for all of our sins, in whom we have forgiveness through his blood. Thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.